Hey, you can be seated, church. Man, it's good to be here to worship with you guys today. Guys, this is God's design for us to gather and sing and open His Word together and to fellowship together. What a great start it's been to our Christmas season already. Beginning last week, we began by singing Christmas songs that point us to Jesus, and we opened God's Word to Luke chapter 1. That's what we're doing this season. We are looking at the gospel in Luke chapter 1 and 2, just walking verse by verse so we don't miss anything. And we're going to see and celebrate the announcement and the arrival and the birth of Jesus and what all of that means for us. Last week, we started in Luke chapter 1, where the angel of the Lord comes and announces two births. One of those births would change the world and change eternity. We saw the angel first go to Zacharias, he and his wife Elizabeth. They were unable to have children. She was barren. And the angel not only tells them that they're going to have a child that will bring them, both of them, joy and gladness, but he also says that many will rejoice at the birth of his son, that they're to name John, because with John, God is setting John apart to be the forerunner. We saw that last week, to go out before the Savior, to go out before Jesus, to call people to get their hearts right with God and to prepare their hearts for Jesus' coming. And then we got to the birth announcement that would change the world and have an eternal impact. We saw last week that Gabriel, the angel of the Lord, comes to Mary, who is a virgin betrothed to Joseph. And Gabriel tells her that she will conceive through the power of the Holy Spirit. And she will give birth, carry and give birth to a son, the promised Savior, Jesus. And we saw his name, Yeshua, Jesus, the Lord who saves. And the angel tells her something that we all need to know and remember and believe. And it's found in verse 37. We saw that last week. And the angel says this, "For nothing will be impossible with God." I mean, Mary trusted that. Mary trusted God. And her response to him was this, "May it be done to me according to your word." Right? What a great response of humility and surrender to God. Such a great passage to begin our Christmas series and point us to Jesus and to show us that his birth, his life, his death, burial, and resurrection is the good news of great joy for all the people. So that's where we left off last week. We had two announcements, two miracles. Elizabeth is now pregnant with John, who's going to prepare the way for Jesus, and Mary, as a virgin, is pregnant with our Lord and Savior, Jesus. That brings us to Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 39. We're going to read through that here in just a little bit. So if you've got your Bibles, go ahead and turn there. We've got Bibles for you in the back as well. But Luke chapter 1, we're going to begin in verse 39. But today, we're going to come to a very famous passage known as Mary's Magnificat. Mary's Magnificat, Mary's praise, or Mary magnifies her Lord. This passage shows us Mary's response to God and how he's at work in her life. It's her song, church. It's her response to the news of Jesus' coming birth. And I think it's important for us to look at because it also shows us how to respond. Shows us who God is. Church, when we open God's word, when we read the Christmas story, sometimes we're so familiar with the story that we read it and we read all the things that are going around it. I think sometimes we just read it and there's no change in us. There's no response. Church, let that not be true of us, right? Mary is going to show us that we should respond, right? We should praise him and we should worship him and we should exalt and magnify the Lord. And so she composes this song. We're going to get to that here in a minute. When it comes to Christmas, many people have their favorite songs and their least favorite songs. I was driving down the road the other day and Jessica and I started laughing because I was singing one of my least favorite songs. Anybody ever do that before? You're like, man, I can't stand this song, but you sing it because you heard it ever since you were a kid. "I want a hippopotamus for Christmas." Come on, church. Like, I'd be okay if someone accidentally deleted that, right? And we never heard "I'm Sorry" in Helica. Like, it doesn't even make sense, church, right? Man. It would just be okay if it was gone, but that's one of my least favorite. Last week, we sang one of my favorite Christmas songs, "O Holy Night." And I love that song. And in it, there is a line when talking about the birth of Jesus and Jesus coming, it says, "A thrill of hope. The weary world rejoices." A thrill, church, is a feeling or even a sudden feeling of excitement and satisfaction and joy. The best way I can describe it for us is if you are going through a difficult time in your life, maybe you're waiting for that phone call from the doctor and the doctor calls and says, hey, it's not cancer, right? Like there's a thrill, church, right? You get that sudden excitement and satisfaction and joy. The birth of our Savior should be that thrill, church. The thrill of hope for us. And as we read our text today, Mary is letting us know that even when her world is about to get really hard, she is still thrilled. She is excited. She is satisfied. She is rejoicing at the news that Jesus is coming. But I think we should ask the question, what thrills you? What brings you joy and satisfaction and excitement this time of year? Is it the lights? Like we like driving through the neighborhood and seeing the lights. Maybe it's the giving of gifts. We love seeing our kiddos' face when they open gifts. Maybe it's the music, right? Jessica unapologetically turns Christmas on in the house on November 1st, church, right? And then we all join in on right after Thanksgiving. But I mean, like I told Jessica, I said, I'm going to share that. She said, you have my blessing. She goes, because as you said, unapologetically, church, like it gives her joy, church. All of those things can make us happy. But as Christ followers, what truly should thrill us and bring us joy and satisfaction is Jesus Christ. When we celebrate Christmas, we are celebrating the birth, not just of anybody, but of our Lord and Savior, Jesus. If we can grasp even a little bit of what his birth means for us, you will rejoice. As we walk through this passage, part of what we're going to see today is Mary's song and her praise to the Lord. And we're going to see how we should praise God. But we don't want to miss anything, church, right? So we're going to walk through this passage. We're going to learn a few other things outside of her song. Our notes this morning will all be on Mary's song, but we want to see from her example and also her song. So let's read through this. Now we're going to read through it section at a time. Normally we'll read all the way through it, but these are long passages. But let's see what we can learn and be reminded of this morning. So Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 39. Here's what God's word says. Now at this time, so Mary had just heard about her having this child, about Jesus. Now at this time, Mary arose and went in a hurry to the hill country, to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she cried out with a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And how has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy, and blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord. Let's pray, church. God, we are opening your word today. God, we're going to walk through it verse by verse. We pray, Lord, that you would teach us. We pray, Lord, that our ears would be ready to hear, our hearts would be ready to receive, and then our feet would be ready to respond. God, we pray, Lord, today that as we read the Bible, we would respond by rejoicing. We would be thrilled with joy and satisfaction. Change our hearts today, God. Make us more like Jesus today and help us, remind us to keep our eyes on him as we walk through this season. In Jesus' name, and God's people said, amen. Man, we're going to walk through Mary's song in a minute, but I don't want us to miss even the little things that Luke points out. We saw last week that Luke pays attention to the details, right? I know a lot of ladies don't think their husbands pay attention to the detail, but Luke does, right? Luke pays attention to the details. He includes a lot of it. And so we don't want to miss any of that. Last week, we saw the angel Gabriel come to Mary and tell her, you are going to conceive and bear a son named Jesus, and he's going to be the Savior. And Mary is a young lady. She is a teenager. She's a virgin. She's betrothed to Joseph. Now remember, betrothed, your Bible may say engaged, but remember, to be betrothed is a little bit different for us. It's a legal agreement, right? She's technically married at this point. They're just not living together and they haven't come together yet, okay? So she is a virgin, but if something were to happen in their relationship and Joseph says, hey, I'm out, there would have to be a divorce. Like, this is a big deal. So she is a virgin, she is betrothed to Mary, but now she's pregnant with Jesus. And verse 39 tells us, Now at this time, Mary arose and went in a hurry to the hill country, to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. As we walk through this part of the Christmas story, we want to see and learn from Mary's example and from Elizabeth's example and even from John's example. And the first thing that we see, even before we get to her song of praise, is we see something. We see the need for fellowship. We talk a lot about that at our church because one of our core values is real relationships. We need each other. There's a reason that relationships and fellowship is a common theme throughout all of Scripture, because God wants us to get it, right? He wants us to see that we need to be with others. Mary had just become pregnant with the Savior, with Jesus, and Mary knows that she needs others. She needs help. She needs fellowship. Notice what verse 39 says. It says that Mary arose and went in a hurry. She made haste, some of your Bibles may say. Mary knew that she needed fellowship. She needed help. She needed somebody else to walk through this with her. And so she set out on this journey to go see her relative, her cousin Elizabeth. And Elizabeth, church, people might say, well, why Elizabeth? Why did she go? Elizabeth might be the only person on the earth who could understand even a little bit of what Mary might be going through. Now, Elizabeth was not having Jesus. She wasn't having the Savior, but her husband did receive a visit and news from the angel of the Lord. Her and her husband did experience a miracle in their life. She was going to have a pretty important baby. And Mary, knowing that Elizabeth was pregnant and had experienced all that, she travels to visit her and to stay with her. And Mary's urgency to get there shows us the importance of fellowship, church. She shows us how important it is just by her travel. This trip, think about Mary, teenager, probably a young teenager. This trip would have been 70 to 100 miles. They didn't have a plane. They didn't have a train. They didn't have, you know, a motorcycle. They didn't have any of those things, right? And we don't know if anyone else went with her. Luke doesn't share that. I hope someone did, right? But we know that this was important for her. She left right away, church, to go and have fellowship. It was worth the travel. Church, she teaches us something important here about fellowship. Real fellowship, real relationships, they take intentionality. And they take sacrifice. We have to be intentional if you want a real relationship. You have to be willing to make a sacrifice, meaning there's going to be a cost to it. There's no real relationship without some sort of cost. Church, too often when we think about friendships and relationships and even relationships within the church, think about this illustration. We often want and expect Jared jewelry quality, but we're only willing to invest with a vending machine jewelry price. There's no commercial out there that said he went to a vending machine, right? He went to Jared, church. And I'm going to tell you, I walked into Jared, saw a price, and walked right back out, okay? Like, it's way up there. But we desire real relationships. We all do. But we often aren't willing to be intentional and willing to sacrifice to make that happen. Mary knew it was worth it. She had to be intentional. And it took sacrifice to be with Elizabeth, but it was worth it, church. It's worth it for us to have fellowship. It's worth it for us to be here today. It's worth it for us to be in life groups. It's worth it for us to do life with others. But think about Mary. I think about Mary and I think about the conversations that her and Elizabeth would have had. Anybody ever walk through these stories and you're just like, man, I wonder what it was like? Right? They both were recipients of God's grace. They both experienced God's miracle. They both knew they were part of what God was doing, and they both knew they were part of how God would save people from their sins. And they knew they could not do it on their own. One of the things we often do, especially in the Christmas time, but we look at people in the Bible and we think they're supernatural. These aren't supernatural women. They're ordinary people living ordinary lives, and they needed each other. You and I are real people living real lives. But for us, church, to be used by God and to walk with God, we need fellowship. We need to encourage one another. We need to serve one another. We need to do life together. We need to pray for one another. I love that during the Christmas season, there is more of an intentionality for us to gather together. And if there's a... We should learn a lot from the Christmas season, but there's one thing for us to take out of that. Our prayer is that we will just continue to do that. Look with me to verse 41. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she cried out with a loud voice and said, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. How has it happened to me that the mother of my Lord would come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what had been spoken to her by the Lord. So the first example we see is the need for fellowship. And then in verse 41 through 45, we see the second truth. That's this, church. With Jesus, the good news of Jesus brings great joy. The good news of Jesus is what brings us together, church, but it's also what brings great and true joy into our life. That's the theme all the way throughout our series, is the good news of his birth, of his life, brings great joy to all people. With Mary, let's think about Mary. On one hand, she got to talk with an angel. Like, come on, that's pretty cool, right? She received God's grace. She was chosen to carry the Savior of the world. But with that came the reality and the hardship that she would face along with that. Because of her culture, she would have been rejected. She would have been looked down upon. How many would have believed that she was still a virgin? She's pregnant, right? She still had to face Joseph. He had every right to divorce her. But even with all the trials, she still rejoices, church. We have reason to rejoice. I look out at faces here today, and some of y'all are on mountaintops. Some of you are kind of plateaued. Some of you are in valleys. No matter what you're facing, we have reason to rejoice because this isn't all there is. Because Jesus came, we've got an eternity, church. We have reason to rejoice because Jesus came into our world, into our life, into our mess, and he came to be with us, church. We just sang about that. Like, he came to be with us. He came to be our Savior and to rescue us. And here we're seeing Elizabeth, and we're seeing even John in the womb rejoice at the coming of Jesus. Elizabeth recognizes that Mary is not just carrying a baby. She is carrying her Lord. The child in the womb recognizes the presence of Jesus, church. By the way, when we think about an unborn child, church, it is never a political issue with God. Let me be super clear about that. It is never a political issue with God. God knows the value of all life from the womb to the tomb, church. We see here that the child in the womb is alive. He has purpose. He has value. And he knows who the Lord is. But church, Elizabeth and her baby in the womb have great joy because of the good news that Jesus is about to be born, church. And he is coming not to stay in the manger, but to seek and to save the lost. He is coming to make things right. He is coming to restore our relationship with our Lord. He is coming to rescue us. They recognize that Jesus is the boss, church. He is Lord who has come to save them. So I know we want to get to Mary's song, but we can't miss these two truths that we see here with Mary and Elizabeth and John. At Christmas, be reminded that we need fellowship. And not just during the Christmas season, but in January and February and March too. And we're reminded that Jesus is the good news that brings great joy. It isn't the season, church. It isn't the songs or the feelings of Christmas that bring us true joy. Those are all great, but they don't bring true everlasting joy. Only the good news of Jesus brings that. If you haven't found it, I hope you find it this week, today, this season. Let's dive into Mary's song. We're going to see her praise and magnify the Lord, and here's how she responds to what God is doing in her life. Verse 46. Elizabeth has spoken to her, greets her, they're excited, and said, and Mary said, my soul exalts, means my soul magnifies or makes great the Lord. And my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has had regard for the humble state of his bondslave. For behold, from this time on, all generations will count me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is upon generation after generation toward those who fear him. He has done mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who were proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones and has exalted those who were humble. He has filled the hungry with good things. things and sent away the rich empty-handed. He has given help to Israel, his servant, in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his descendants forever. And Mary stayed with her about 3 months and then returned home. So right around the time that she's returning home, we'll see this next week, but John is being born around that time. But what a great and deep and rich song from Mary. I've heard people ask, how in the world could Mary, a young teenager, write this or vocalize all of this? Because church, there's some deep truth here, right? There's some deep truth here. How would a teenager be able to express the truth and the joy and the depth that we see in these verses? And I think the answer is pretty simple. Young people, don't miss this. Old people, you listen to, right? She knew the Lord. She walked with the Lord. Don't miss it. She knew her Bible, church. I know they don't have the Bible we have today, okay? But what she had, she knew. She was in the Word, church. More than likely, her mom and dad lived out what Scripture says in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 6. Parents, listen up. These words, the Word of God, the law, the Scriptures, these words that I've given you today says it's to be on your heart, parents. All of us. Repeat them to your children. Talk about them when you sit in your house and when you walk around along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Your kids need to see the Word of God like flow out of you. They probably read Psalm 145 that says, one generation shall praise your works to another and declare your mighty acts. There's intentionality. Parents, grandparents, adults, spiritual parents, tell others about Jesus and what he's done. Mary understood Psalm 119 that says, I have stored up your word in my heart. These words in her song, they show us that Mary stored God's word in her heart. She knew her Bible, young people. She knew her Bible. I think this should be an encouragement for our young people today. I've said this ever since I've heard my pastor say this when I was growing up, and I've continued to say it. Young people are not just the future of the church. They are the church now. Don't miss how God can use young people. I mean, think about who God used in Scripture. David was not some old man. Mary was a young girl, right? Timothy, a young dude, right? Don't miss how God might use young people. We often think about our youth and we think that they're not capable of learning and studying and growing and being used by God. We think they might not be capable of knowing God's word. Church, let me say this. If your teenagers can read the menu of Starbucks and Dutch Bros, they can read the Bible. Amen. That's a whole nother language. One that I don't really want to learn. Give me a coffee, please. And large means large. I don't know what venti and all this other stuff mean, but goodness. Our young people are doing computer coding in elementary school. They're doing advanced math and they're building robots in robotics, church. They can read the Word of God, right? Why in the world would we think that they cannot learn and grow and know God's Word? Young people, Mary was a teenager. Be encouraged by her. Be encouraged by her. She knew the Word of God, and that's how she was able to write and sing the song that magnifies who God is. This song is filled with Scripture. We're not going to be able to look at every single piece of that because that would be super awesome, but we're going to see references and phrases from Genesis, from Deuteronomy, from 1 and 2 Samuel, from Joel, from Psalm, from Isaiah, from Ezekiel, from Micah, from Habakkuk, and Zephaniah. All of those. We're going to hear a lot of echo from Hannah's song in 1 Samuel chapter 1 and 2. If you're not familiar with her, Hannah, another young lady. But she was a young married lady who was barren. And she sang and she cried out to God when he blessed her with a child. And she dedicated that child to the Lord. So we're going to hear similar phrases from Mary that are in 1 Samuel chapter 1 and 2. And honestly, let's think about this. Mary probably would have been drawn to study and read what God did in the life of Hannah. Church, when we're walking through a season of life, it doesn't matter what it is. When we're walking through a good time or a difficult time, we often look to God's word to see another person from the Bible that we can relate to. It's good to do that. If you're struggling with sin, and you need to experience God's forgiveness, you should look at the life of David. You should read his psalm where David repents of his sin and receives God's forgiveness and grace. You should read that. If you're struggling with following God because the culture around you is pressing against you and they're threatening you, maybe you should lean into what God's word says about Daniel and how Daniel trusted and followed God even when it could have cost him his life. Mary is a young lady, now experiencing a pregnancy. I would guess she spent some time in 1 Samuel looking at how Hannah praised God and how God was at work in Hannah's life. And so this part of the Christmas story, it comes after the announcement of his birth, but before Jesus is born. It should remind us that we need fellowship. We should be reminded that Jesus is the good news of great joy. And then it should remind us, church, that our hearts and our minds should be saturated with Scripture. You want to be able to live like Mary? You want to be able to respond like Mary when life gets hard or when you're being used by God? Be saturated in the Word. Be in it. Have it written on your heart. Let it dwell in you. Reading this passage reminds me of Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. It says, "Let the word of Christ dwell richly in you, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another through psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs," church, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. When our hearts and our minds are filled with the word of God, when we know who God is, it will lead you to magnify and rejoice. It will. And that's what we do at Christmas. We're singing about who Jesus is and how he came into the world and all that he's done for us. I challenge you, church, to not just sing, but focus on the words, the truths that you are singing to and about him, church. So now let's look at her song just a little closer and see why she is able to praise and magnify the Lord. We'll see why you and I can praise and magnify the Lord. We're going to see three overarching truths that Mary praises God for that will lead us to praise God. The first one is this. Mary does this, and we can magnify and sing his praises because of his grace. Because of his grace. We often think about Christmas and we think about the gifts and we think about the decorations, but let's not forget that Christmas is also all about God's grace. A lot of times we give a lot of focus towards God's grace at Easter. Man, they are tied together, church. Look at how Mary begins her song in verse 46. "And Mary said, my soul exalts the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior. For he had regard for the humble state of his bond slave. For behold, from this time on, all generations will count me blessed. For the mighty one has done great things for me, and holy is his name." Mary begins first by saying, "My soul exalts," meaning my soul makes great. My soul magnifies the Lord. "And my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." Mary is expressing that all of her, all of who she is magnifying and praising God. And at the same time, realizing that she should not praise herself. She knows that she's carrying the Lord and Savior. That could have led her to lift herself up. But she understood something. She understood that she did nothing to earn that. It was God's grace that did that. Remember, we saw that last week, that whenever he said you're in favor, right? It means you're full of grace. God did it. You didn't do it. You didn't earn it. She understood that she did nothing to earn this. It was God's grace that allowed her to do this. Here's the reality. When it comes to her and her culture and her world, Mary, think about Mary. She is unknown. She is from an undesirable place, but yet in God's grace, he still visited her. In her life, she had nothing to point to as to why God would choose her. She wasn't the prom queen. She wasn't the daughter of a celebrity. She wasn't royalty. She wasn't from a popular city. She didn't live a perfect life. And then notice what she says. She says this. This is super important, church. She said, "My spirit rejoiced in God, my Savior." Don't miss this, church. Mary can rejoice because the one she is carrying is her Savior. Mary needed a Savior just like you and me. She had sin in her life just like you and me. How do we know that? Because there's only one sinless. She needed a Savior. You and I need a Savior. And that's why it's so important to know why Jesus came. In Luke 19:10, Jesus says this a lot of times at Christmas time, and I've even heard people pray, "Dear baby Jesus." No. That's just how he entered the world, church. Here's why he came. Jesus says it. Let's listen to Jesus, right? He says, "For the Son of Man has come," why? "To seek and to save the lost." Ramey read this earlier, but Jesus says himself in John 3:17, "For God did not send Jesus, the Son, into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him." Jesus says in Mark 10:45, one of my favorite passages, "For even the Son of Man," Jesus saying, "For I did not come to be served, but to serve." The word serve means I'm going to do something for you that you cannot do on your own. "I came to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many," meaning he paid the price. That's why God came. That's why Jesus came. We can praise God and magnify him because of his grace. He came and did for us what we did not deserve, what we could not do on our own. He died in our place. He paid the price we owed to save us, church. Ephesians 2:8 and 9 says that we are saved by his grace and not by anything that we have done. Mary's recognizing that. "I need a Savior," she says. Guess what? You and I need a Savior. Mary needed a Savior. We needed a Savior. Your neighbors need a Savior. People in other parts of the world need a Savior. And that is why Jesus came. We often celebrate that at Easter, but Easter and Christmas are tied together, church, because he came, he was born so that he could die for you and me. And we see more of his grace. Mary says in verse 48, "For he has had regard for the humble state of his bondslave." God on high, church, had regard. He looked on with favor on her humble state. Here's some good news for us. You've got Mary that is this unknown girl from an unknown area, right? The Lord saw her. Here's some good news for us today. The Lord sees you. No matter what it is that you're going through, no matter who you are, the Lord sees you. He hears you. He's not distant from you. He chooses to pour out his grace on you. He loves you. Sometimes Christmas can be lonely because who we may be missing or because we feel forgotten or many reasons. But I promise you, Jesus sees you and he's not forgotten you. Verse 48. He continues, "For behold, from this time on, generations will count me blessed." Listen to what she says. She, this lowly, young, virgin girl from a no-name place, right? There's a time later that it says, like, what good comes out of Nazareth, right? Well, Jesus does. But, like, she is from this is just not a known place. But she said, "Generations will count me blessed." Why? "For the Mighty One has done great things for me." Not because of what she did, because of what he did for her. And then she even says, "And holy, set apart is his name." She recognizes something here. She's not blessed because of something she did. She says, "I'm blessed because the Mighty One has done great things for me," church. God in his grace did great things for her. God in his grace has done great things for you. And for me, take the time this Christmas, church, to see the great things he has done for you. And she says, "Holy is her name," not my name. Your name is holy, God. Jesus, God in the flesh, Emmanuel, he is set apart. He is holy. There is none like him, and there never, ever will be. But he is also so gracious. Verse 50. "And his mercy is upon generation after generation toward those who fear him." Do we hear that, church? His mercy is upon all who fear him. Do you see who he is? Do you see what he's done? Have you trusted in him and humbled yourself before him and called on Jesus to save you? Church, don't forget that Christmas is a time to celebrate and rejoice because Jesus is here. But Christmas is also and always about his grace. You may feel like you are a nobody from nowhere with nothing to your name and nothing to look forward to, but Jesus shows us that he sees you, he values you, he loves you, and he came for you. Come on, church. That's some really good news. the Lord of all, the one that spoke and cows were made, church. Like, he saw you, he came to you and made a way for you and I to be saved and to be with him forever when we did nothing to earn it or deserve it. Come on, church. Like, we praise him and magnify him because of his grace. And then we see Mary worship. She sings and praises God because of who he is and what he's done. Church, we can magnify the Lord and sing his praises because of who he is and what he has done. Let's walk through her song and see who God is. It's all over the place, right? We see that he is our Savior. We saw that with Mary, right? Mary already sang about that. He is our Savior. He's going to rescue us. We saw in verse 50 that he is merciful. We see in verse 51, he has done mighty deeds with his arm. Who is he? He is gracious. He is merciful. He is our Savior. And church, he is mighty. Amen? Like, he is mighty. At Christmas, it's wise to pause and to praise God for who he is. And church, let's praise him because he's mighty. Man, we don't serve a pansy God. I'm just laying it out there, church. He is mighty, church. Isaiah 9:6, talking about the coming of our Savior Jesus, it says that he is the mighty God. Revelations 1:8 says that God is the Alpha and Omega, who is and who was and who is to come. He is the Almighty. Deuteronomy 10:17, the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords. He's great and mighty and the awesome God. That's who he is, church. Mary tells of us of his might in verse 52. How mighty is he? He brought down rulers from their thrones, and he exalted those who were humble. We'll look at this in a minute, but 53 shows us that he's also the provider. Verse 54, we're going to look at all these, but he's the helper. Again, in verse 54, he's merciful. Church, we say this at our church a lot. We want to make much of Jesus. When we say that, we're saying we want to magnify him for who he is and what he's done. Mary sings about what the Lord, who he is, and what he has done. She says in verse 49, she says in her song that he has done great things for her. Church, he's done great things for you. I was meeting with our finance team not that long ago, and we were just sitting there looking, and we're like, God, you've done some really great things. You got to pause and just praise God for that. We get so caught up and we get mad about stuff that we want, and we just forget that God has done so many great things for us. We see again in verse 50, and his mercy is upon generation after generation toward those who fear him. He gives mercy. He gives his goodness. He gives his love toward those who trust in him and follow him and recognize that he is Lord and we are not and turn to him, church. He gives mercy. Verse 51, he has done mighty deeds with his arm. Means he fights for and he saves his people, church. He has scattered those who were proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones. He has exalted those who were humble. He's filled the hungry with good things and sent away the rich empty-handed. This is who God is. Jesus came humbly, church, to be with us. And he calls us, church, to be humble. 1 Peter 5:6 says this. Says that we're to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God so that he may exalt you at the proper time. Mary humbled herself under the mighty hand of God, and God exalted her. Mary's highlighting that here. God didn't choose the proud and the mighty. He chose her. A simple, unknown girl from an undesirable place. That's what he does, church. You're struggling with pride. Let this help you. He lifts up not the prideful, but the humble. He fills the hungry with good things. The word fills means to satisfy. What a good word, church. He's the one who satisfies those who are in need. I remember Jessica and I many times, but just one in particular, we were getting on a plane with our kids, and we were praising God for his grace and the grace of people around us. But I remember, like, you ever, like, go to the airport? Y'all, it's like $47 for French fries at Burger King. That's crazy. But I remember sitting there with my stomach growling. I was hungry because the food at the airport is so expensive. Man, we needed to take a loan out or something for a cheeseburger. But I'm just sitting there, right? I'm just wanting something to fill me up. Y'all ever been there? Okay, I try to sneak on some beef jerky or something, church. I'm just saying, like, you got to bring something on with you. But I didn't have anything. And then they're like, coming by and look, would you like a snack? Yes, please. And then they give you these really big bags of peanuts and pretzels. I need more, right? You hit the button, you're like, I need more of those bags. Like, we're out, sir, right? But you scarf those things down and you're still hungry. You're not satisfied. Things of this world can't satisfy you like he can. Remember the Rolling Stones song? I can't get no way, right? I can't get no satisfaction, church, right? Because I try and I try and I try. Y'all are with me, right? Okay, all right. We can try and try and try all we want, but we can't be satisfied if we're not satisfied in Jesus. Jesus is the satisfier. You're not the satisfier. The things of this world will never satisfy you. The Bible tells us that the Lord has written eternity in our heart. The only way that that part of us can be satisfied and filled is through him. I just sang the Rolling Stones in church. Amen. Come on. Church, we often pursue, and you can't add that to your song list, Justin, right? We often pursue and try to be filled up on things of this world, but it's Jesus who satisfies. This is who God is. This is what he does, church. We have so many reasons to praise and magnify him this Christmas season. And one of them is he satisfies us when the world cannot. We have one more. Look at verse 54. He has given help to Israel, his servant, in remembrance of his mercy. As he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and his descendants forever. Don't miss one. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Mary is worshiping the Lord. We can magnify the Lord and sing his praises, church, because of his faithfulness. Christmas is about his faithfulness, church. Mary says, the Lord has given help to Israel in remembrance of his mercy. Remember, he's in remembrance means like he remembers his mercy, his promise, and he's going to give help. He has given help remembering his mercy. God had promised to love them, to have mercy on them, and church, God keeps his promises. If you've ever studied the history of Israel, you will feel like you are on a roller coaster, church. Up and down and up and down and up and down and up and down and real high and real down. Are you with me, church? Like, just read it. You'll get dizzy. God would rescue them. They're going up, right? They would praise God. They would worship him, and then they would turn their backs on him. He would restore them and do great things for them, and again, they would worship him, and then they would stop worshiping him. He would rescue them and love them and have mercy on them, and they would worship him and follow him and obey him until they didn't again. Mary's saying, even when we didn't, you remained faithful. He was still on their side. He was still their God. They were still his people. He would still love them and be merciful and help them. And the story of Israel should remind us a lot of our story, church. God created you and me to walk with him and to follow him and obey him. And you know what we've done is we walked away and we sinned against him. But he still came. And he still lived, and he still loved us, and he still died for us, showing his love, his mercy, and his grace, and his faithfulness. Church, Christmas is God showing us that he keeps his promises, and he always will, church. He is faithful, and he cannot be unfaithful. This is Mary's song. This is why we can praise and magnify him. As you celebrate Christmas, don't celebrate without him, church. You ever thrown a Christmas party for a little boy without inviting the birthday boy? We do it all the time with Christmas, church, right? Let's don't celebrate without him. Praise him, magnify him because of his grace, because of who he is, because of what he's done, because he's faithful. Even if you're in here and you're hurting today, you're feeling lonely or going through a valley, church, I'm telling you, take some time to rejoice. He will fill you up.
We can rejoice because we know that he is so good. He has not forgotten you. Christmas is a reminder that he came to be with you. He came to be your Lord and Savior, church. This Christmas, if you haven't already, recognize your need for a Savior. Let's pray.